Welcome. Episode 1038. It's Thursday, June 8th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and Harry's.com, and of course, listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Want a close shave just like me? You want to save a ton of money? Visit Harry's.com and use the promo code GEEKNEWS to save $5. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We've got a great show lined up for you. Know what's coming next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. I've got a great lineup of stuff for you today. Yes, it is Apple Mania. The WWDC Dev Conference kicked off this morning. And Apple made a bunch of announcements. We'll get into that here in a very, very short time period. But I have a feeling we're going to have a bunch of new listeners that are going to listen to this specific episode. And I'll talk a little bit about why, but not giving completely the cat out of bag tonight. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But if you are brand new to the show, really, the only way to stay connected with Geek News Central is to subscribe to the podcast. And all you got to do is you got to go over to geeknewscentral.com and you got to check out all the great content on the website. We've got lots of blog commentary on a daily basis. We have, of course, a variety of podcasts for you to subscribe to. We want you to subscribe to this show primarily, of course, to get going. And you can do that via iTunes or on your Android device. The links are right there in the second column of the website. But and if you have a device other than that, don't worry. There's more options or the RSS feed. But the main thing is to get subscribed to the show. Don't forget, as you're perusing geeknewscentral.com, that we've got Todd Ani in the Elder Divide. Matter of fact, Todd just finished up his 100th show here about a week ago. It kind of snuck by me, so I must apologize to Todd, but congratulations to him for hitting that 100 mark. That's a really, really big deal. So if you guys get over to theelderdivide.com and check out Todd's show, give him a pat on the back and congratulate him. Of course, we've got the new media show that Rob Greenlee and I do every Saturday that I'm here in Honolulu. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, and we've got Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. And of course, at the end of the month, we're going to be saying a fond farewell to Langley and Robot Underpants, but definitely check all the shows out here at Geek News Central. And when you come back to the main site, we want you to get signed up for the newsletter. There's a link right in the important link section of the website. It says newsletter. That's a one-way emailing that I send out every show at the completion of the show when I post the podcast, so that you'll have all the show notes, all the links to everything I'm going to talk about tonight in that email, so you can follow along or have it there to peruse at your leisure. So definitely do that. But of course, if you want to reach out to me, you can do so via Twitter. That's one of the great ways to do it. I'm on Twitter continuously. And of course, you can email me here directly at the show. That's the best way, really the primary way, to leave a comment about today's podcast or any of the previous episodes, or suggest a change, or tell me something you didn't like, or whatever it may be. And again, it's at geeknews@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Google Plus, all the variety of different communities. You can just Google my name, and I usually come to the top of the search engine list. But we want to thank all of you for watching the show. Some of you watch it on the Roku. Some of you watch it on a Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, a Google TV, an Android TV, via Chromecast. You know, you can enjoy this show back in your lazy boy, or definitely take this show on the run when you're out, basically in the bus, in your car. You can have the kids with you. There's nothing that's ever dirty in the show. It's a family safe podcast. So we want to thank you for being subscribed and tagging along with me. Today's show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been with us 10 years. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing the ride we have been in. And I think if there was going to be a Guinness Book of World Record for the longest podcast sponsor, a single company sponsoring a single show, I would have to be the winner of that. It's, 10 years here now, continuous sponsorship of the show. They have had a advertising spot in all 1,038 episodes, and we've continued to bring great deals to you every single month. And again, all those deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, but lots of great promo codes here. I got a new one to add. I haven't added it to the site. I'll try to get that added tonight before I run out of time, but it's going to be $1 a month WordPress hosting for the first 12 months. So right now we got the 30% off deal on new product purchases, 99 cent on new or transfer domains. We've got the deal where on Website Builder, where you can get a domain, Microsoft Outlook email address, and the Website Builder account, all for $1 a month for 12 months. And then we've got the standard economy hosting with a free domain, again, $1 a month for 12 months. There's details there on those deals. All those codes start with CJC, GNC 30, CJC, GNC 99, CJC, GNC GOT, CJC, GNC 1HS. And we'll have the new promo code up for the WordPress hosting. So this is managed WordPress hosting, and it's $1 a month. It's a great deal. It's $5 or $6 off on their base monthly price. And it's a product that I really like. I use a number of those WordPress WordPress managed accounts, and it's a great, great deal. So, again, there are some disclaimers on each of those deals, so definitely look at those. I think with like the 99 cents domain, you have to pay an ICANN fee of like 16 or 17 cents or 8 cents or whatever it is. But look at the disclaimers. They'll be at the top of the page when you go to the website. Also, you can use the codes. You can apply them at checkout. But really, the best way to do it is just click on the links, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, or click on a banner on the website to lock it in. And we definitely appreciate your utilization and supporting my sponsor over at GoDaddy. Again, 10 years of them keeping the lights on here is pretty incredible. And as you guys know, I leave on a jet airplane tomorrow, leave out of Honolulu late in the afternoon. Heading to Michigan. I'm going to be attending the Gatorade 400 at Michigan International Speedway as a guest of GoDaddy. I'm going to be doing an interview with Danica Patrick on Sunday. And I've been thinking over the past week and a half of the questions I'm going to answer Danica. And I only get 10 minutes with her. So I think what I'm going to try to do is do a 10 questions, 10 minute format. So I'm just boom, 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 boom. Going to be 10 quick questions. So you've got time. If you've got a question you've always wanted to ask Danica Patrick, and I want to hear from the ladies especially, because I think I'm going to focus on her as being a successful woman and the things that she's done and giving advice to young ladies. And but if you have questions for Danica, that you would like to, and we want them appropriate type of questions, definitely send them to me at geeknews@gmail.com, because I don't have all my questions completely racked and stacked at this point. And if you guys come up, this Ohana, this great audience, comes up with a few questions that I can kind of put in, I think it'll be good. Now, what's going to happen this week is this Thursday, there will be no show, but I've got a surprise for you. And if the bandwidth holds out at my mom's house on Thursday, I'm going to put up something in this special media feed, and I will send out a email blast via the newsletter, letting you know that that particular piece of content is up on the special media feed. And this is going to be kind of my little present to you. I hope I can get it done Thursday. The weather has to be good for this to happen. So I'll let you know. But again, I fly in, I get there Wednesday afternoon. So hopefully everything goes well. On Thursday, I'm able to accomplish what I want to get accomplished and get this piece of content up. But I do promise you, I have a special piece of content coming for all of you. and I think you'll enjoy it. It's a different perspective of anything that I've done ever before, and I'm excited to be able to share. So just keep your eyes peeled, and I'll send that announcement out. But there will be no regular show, this coming Thursday. Do fly back to Honolulu. Hope to have a show Monday evening if everything goes right. I get enough sleep on the plane, which I'm planning on doing. So we'll keep our fingers crossed there. Okay, so let me just share with you guys real quick before we get into the content tonight. On Wednesday, there's going to be a big announcement concerning me. And I probably will not be able to respond to Twitter, to Facebook, until, you know, mid-afternoon on Wednesday before I'm going to get on social media. And I know that there's going to be a lot of social media stuff being talked about me on Wednesday. It's all good. Okay, just let's start off by saying that. So keep your eyes peeled. I don't know what the embargo timeline is for the announcement, but I do want to thank all of you that are part of this audience for 10 years plus, going on 11 years of supporting the show, having the confidence in this show and hanging out with me for 1,038 episodes. Many of you have been here from the beginning, and you all have been able to get a unique perspective of the podcasting space from the very, very beginning until now, because you've been with me on this crazy ride that we've been on together all this time. So you've been having some inside information from time to time. I get in trouble sometimes with my team for talking about stuff too early and hinting at it in my show. But this whole thing is a team effort, and you all are part of the team that is part of this Ohana that makes this show happen. We battled through thick and thin and been together. And again, GoDaddy, with the sponsor support and all the other hundreds of sponsors that have been with this in and out of this show through the years, all of them have been really responsible for everything that we've been able to do here and continue to do so. So I want to thank all of you again for your support. That announcement will be on Wednesday. So those of you that are live right now, some of those of you that are listening early, you're going to be digging around. Please, we're this is a little family thing here. Shh. Okay. You guys keep this between us right now, between the Ohana, all right? And for those of you that are brand new to the show, welcome to Geek News Central and the family here at geeknewscentral.com. Okay, so let me go ahead and take a second here and thank, before we get into the regular content, thank our new sponsor that's on with us again this month as well, which is Harry's.com. And for those of you watching the show, I have a baby smooth shave, and it's because of Harry's.com. And this is a product. I was pretty hardcore using another brand for many, many, many years. But I love any type of business that has a great story behind it and some entrepreneurs and worked hard. You know, two guys are passionate about creating a better shave for men, and I think for women too. They don't normally say that, but I think that, you know, my wife has got and daughter have Harry's razors right now as well. But Harry delivers a super shave, and they bought a blade factory in Germany that's been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for nearly a century. They cut out the middleman, and their starter kit's just $15. That includes the razor, three blades, and your choice is Harry, shaving cream and foaming gel. I like the shaving cream better than the foaming gel. As an added bonus, you're going to get $5 off your first purchase with my code GEEKNEWS. Now, after using my code, you can get an entire month worth of shaving for just $10, okay? So shipping's always free. So go to Harry's.com now, and Harry's will, again, give you $5 off. You type in my code GEEKNEWS with your first purchase. That's Harry's.com. And enter the coupon code GEEKNEWS, again, at checkout for the $5 off the starter set, and start shaving smarter today. So thanks to Harry's for being a sponsor here at the show. And when you get over their website, it's they always have cool pictures. So definitely check them out. And they've got some new stuff for Father's Day as well, some new sets. I heard they have a platinum set. I don't think that's included in the $5 off deal. But just keep your eyes peeled at harrys.com and check them out. All right. Thank you all for supporting the sponsors tonight. All right. Let's get into the stack. And I have a stack. And I want to start off. I got a lot of stuff to talk about Apple first. Not first. A lot of stuff to talk about Apple tonight. And I'm going to summarize because y'all probably been watching the news as much as I have today and watching the video streams. But, and if I didn't go through this before, I should have. And I apologize for not doing so. But I want to talk about the government hack and some more information that has come to light via some articles that I have read. We all know about the OPM hack and the 4.5 million people that work for Uncle Sam's, whose identity has essentially been stolen. Okay, that's bad enough. But it's my understanding now, based upon, again, this is articles that I've read at Ars Technica and a variety of different places, that not only were like personal PII information stolen, it has the potential and is being rumored and being said that the applications and security clearance investigation results may have been compromised as well. Having spent 24 plus years in the Navy, almost 25, having filled out a security questionnaire every 5 years, having the Department of Defense essentially examine me upside down, backwards, around, crisscross, the whole nine yards. Some people even get polygraphs as part of their investigation process. But what you do in this, when you're filling out this form to have a higher level security clearance, is you tell everything in your life. The first time you fill the form out, you have to go back like 15 years. And then every 5 years, you have to tell them what you've been doing for the last 5 years, where you've lived, who you associated with, what trips you've been on, what parking tickets you've got, everything, absolutely everything, who your wife is, who her siblings are, the parents, who the sibling spouses are, and any foreign alignments, any foreign conversations. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I think it's, and I was actually looking tonight before the show started, I was trying to find, I have a folder, because when you fill this thing out, it's all done online now, but before we used to have to type it in the early days. And I think it's like 38 pages of stuff. Now, what happens is that goes to an investigator. And they have companies that are, or they actually, sometimes it's government investigators, sometimes it's a Naval Investigative Service. It's a variety of different people, but their job is to find out if you're doing something that can endanger the U.S. government. They dig for the dirt, and they write in their report everything they find. Now, what they want is full disclosure. They want you to tell everything. For example, when I was in the Navy and still doing, still active duty and had started my business and started to build Raw Voice and Podcast Connect, I had to completely disclose all of that. The investigator went and saw my accountant to talk to, you know, they had to dig deeper because they needed to make sure that the extra money that I was earning from my business was a legitimate source of income. And they're just looking, right? And they're also trying to make sure that you divulge everything so that no one can ever blackmail you. So no one can ever hold something over your head and say, you didn't tell the government about this. We know. So now we're going to blackmail you into giving up government information. So the investigator gets this big sheet of data, has all this personal information in it. It's really deep. Birth date, social security numbers, passport numbers. I mean, you name it, it's in there. This thing is like your life, right? And having done those for 25 years, there's a 25-year span of information that is on file about me that the government knows every little bit. And then They do an interview with your friends, family members, people that you know. They check your finances. They check your health records and make sure that you haven't been hiding something medically. They come and interview you. It's about an hour. They ask you your associations. I mean, it's in depth, and they write all this stuff down, and they interview you, people that you know and people that you don't know, people that you've been associated with, and they collect all this information, and they make a decision whether or not you're trustworthy. And if you are, then you are granted access to whatever you may have been designated to be given access to. But all that information is in a file. It's probably about that thick, a digital file now, with all that investigator's written information about you. So this is why the OPM hack is beyond devastating. It's bad if, and again, if that information that was contained in those investigative files and investigative reports ended up in the Chinese hands, here's where it gets really, absolutely crazy. They know everything about you, your family members, your sisters, your brothers, your spouses. So if they want to exploit someone or target someone, target where you live, use social engineering to try to get inside a computer at home. Because we know people never do all their work at work, right? They bring stuff home. People do. They're probably not supposed to. Now, they don't bring home sensitive stuff that you can go to jail for that stuff, and rightly so. But people bring back for official use only type documents, maybe work on it, maybe bring a computer home, hook it to the home network. So all of a sudden, now if you have a foreign government that's been handed this treasure trove of personal information about every employee of the United States government that has not only their PEI from just their employment stuff, but also their security clearance information, their health information, their finance information, their banking information. Holy smokes. Get the point where I'm here, where I'm at? Apparently, as late as mid-2014, they had very few internal IT staff. And by like October, November, they'd only hired like 14. For the whole U.S. government employee database information, they had 14 IT people for 4.5 million records and multiple databases. How? How is this even remotely possible? How? We have to be, whoever pulled this off, have to be the laughing stocks of the country. Think about the dollars. Think about the millions and billions of dollars that we pay in taxpayer dollars to our federal government to protect the data of the citizens of the United States. IRS has been hacked. OPM's been hacked. DOD's been hacked. And all this information. It's not necessarily one piece of information that will sink a ship. It's lots of little pieces of information that can sink a ship. Lots of little pieces that can bring a country to its knees. We can all only, we can all only pray that these hackers did not get these investigation files. If they got those investigation files, as it's being rumored and reported, I want to use a word that I'm not supposed to use on this show. And I'll basically say, we're beep. You know, it's wow. I'd love to hear, I know there's a bunch of government workers that listen to this show. Bree, what do you think? You know, there's a lot of government workers that listen to this podcast that have had their data, maybe their security clearance information. And again, these big, deep questionnaires are normally for the ones that are having the real high clearance levels. Normally, the base level security clearance doesn't take all the stuff they'll do, records checks, they number things, but doesn't involve this deep dive. Love to hear what you think. And will anybody get fired over this? Probably not. Will it happen again? Probably will. But this is a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. And those of you that live outside the United States, I'm sure you're shaking your head. We have a lot of people listening to the show from all over the world. 100+ countries listen to this podcast. And maybe it's commonplace in your backwoods, but it sure is just absolutely appalling to me. Okay, I'm going to get off that topic, but I am going to talk about one more thing. When it comes to hackers are now hijacking medical devices to create backdoors into hospital networks. They're tagging along with insulin pumps. Going in and being machines like blood gas and analyzers, which are connected to the network, are being compromised. So, you know, what's most accessible in the hospital is you go into a lab to have blood drawn, right? So, you know, all it takes is one dude to be in there with a USB stick or something, stick it in a machine and infect the machine. And most of these machines in hospitals are on closed networks and they're running Windows XP. They're running old operating systems that are unpatched. And all they got to do is they get in behind the firewall and then it's owned. They go into this full detail of how one hospital was just absolutely decimated. And it was because one person was cruising the internet on the radiology machine. Instead of, you know, using the radiology machine to, do his job or her job, they're out surfing the net on this very unprotected operating system. They got hacked with malware. And all of a sudden, ultrasounds, MRIs, x-rays, CT scans are being sent to China, to Shanghai. They can sell that information back to insurance companies. Think of the value of that. All of a sudden, you get a notice for no unknown reason that you're getting an increase to your life insurance, or they've canceled your life insurance policy. You know, you've been in getting some chemo or something, and you know, and that's none of the life insurance company's business. But you know, they bought this information on the open market from China to find out what your state of your medical health is, or you apply for life insurance, got a little bit high cholesterol. And maybe it's a policy where you don't have to go get a physical on, and they automatically say, oops, there we go. That person needs to get bumped on their rate. Or worse, people are blackmailed. Someone that maybe has HIV. Maybe they haven't announced it. Maybe they're not public about it. Or maybe someone that has gotten a couple of STDs and they're married. You know, all of a sudden, blackmail material combined with everything else is out there today. So it's a dirty world out there, and there's some bad people doing bad things. Almost makes you want to get off the net, doesn't it? Okay, on to cheer topics. Let's talk about the WWDC, the Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference that kicked off. Let's talk just a little bit about some stats. The iTunes App Store passed 1.5 million apps. Is that just, okay, How can you find anything in there? 100 billion downloads of apps, 30 billion paid to developers to date. It's huge numbers. Wow. It's just amazing. Growth does appear to be slowing, though. They didn't really want to talk about that. Now, we know Apple doesn't rely on these services as a primary revenue generator. It's primarily a hardware business. Apps and other services on the service are a key way of keeping people in the pipeline, right? So that's a little bit information about the app ecospace. At the same time, Apple Pay apparently is going to have over 1 million U.S. locations by the end of next month. So they're going to be adding Discover Card. So if you have a Discover Card, you can now use Visa, MasterCard, I believe American Express. I haven't ever registered American Express on Apple Pay, and Discover. So just be aware of that. That's forthcoming. So I still have never paid. Well, one time did I pay something with Apple Pay just to try it, but I don't use it a lot. On Gizmodo, there is a pretty interesting article talking about everything Apple tried to kill today. Yes, what the companies they tried to kill. And, you know, I'm sure every app developer that's out there, they probably sit on pins and needles during the WWDC to try to see if Apple's going to kill their product off. So here's the list. Spotify, Google Music, Pandora, Tidal, they're all under the crosshairs with their new, with the new Beats or with the new Apple Music service. We'll talk a little bit about more about that. SoundCloud, well, they're definitely on the hit list because of this. Evernote, they are, Apple has just really revamped their entire Notes app. So Evernote may be facing some competition. Google Maps, you know, Apple's had a horrible track record with maps, but with its new public transit feature, this should appeal to commuters without cars instead of routing people to third-party apps. The iOS 9 version of Maps will provide public transit directions, which is something Google's Map already does, of course. They're doing a conversion app from Android. In a blatant attempt to get people to stop using Android, Apple debuted another Android app today, although it didn't get to the attention of everyone in the keynote, but there is another one. It's called Move to iOS. It's an app designed to help people switch from Android to Apple. It transfers contacts, message history, photos, videos, bookmarks, and calendars, wallpaper and DRM-free songs, books from Android to Apple, and just suggests third-party apps to re-add. So this is actually my daughter. She wants to come back to Apple. And she's like, how am I going to get my stuff moved over? Well, there's going to be an app for that. She has to wait to the fall, though. Google Now's underneath the crosshairs with the new service that they're bringing on. And that's been demoed. Flipboard, because Apple has just redone their news app. So Flipboard's in the crosshairs. And of course, your wallet. Your wallet is always going to be targeted by Apple because of the cost of all their product and them wanting you to use Apple Pay and everything that you do. So Apple News, again, does look like Flipboard, and it replaces Newsstand on your phone or iPad. So that shouldn't come off a surprise. But the iPad split screen, finally, is going to be available. And they demoed that. And I'll be honest with you, The Verge today cleaned up. The Verge definitely is rocking on all cylinders when it comes to tech news. They are definitely king of the hill right now. And so they've got some of the best coverage. So Apple showed off its iPad split screen. This is a great video to watch if you are an iOS user. Those of you that are on Android will scoff and laugh already. But it is something they've done. Apple HomeKit, a little bit update on that. We talked about that a little bit here on the show already. Apple HomeKit will initially need an Apple TV. But it sounds like that won't be necessary soon, as the device may just need to hook into iCloud. It sounds like these features will all roll out with iOS 9, and they're going to make HomeKit be much smarter and be able to connect to much more devices. And so we'll see where it goes. And it's where they're going to battle for us, folks, all our devices in our home. Of course, Apple also announced already Watch 2.0, basically the dev kit for that. And Apple Watch apps are going to let more are going to get a lot more powerful. And Apple said it plans to let developers begin building apps that they can do a lot more than they can now. Their new apps will be able to access the watch hardware, including its microphone, speaker, and accelerometer. Also, be able to Bluetooth directly with the watch. You can be away, have content on the watch, and be away from your phone. It'll still work. So this is pretty good. They say performance is going to be great. So we won't see any of these new apps for a while, but they are going to be forthcoming. And of course, Apple made a huge play to take over your car's dashboard. This is big. They announced that CarPlay will begin allowing automakers to add apps into the system starting with the release of iOS 9. That means that the system will be gaining a far tighter bond with the car in which they're running, with it's running, in that they can, for instance, control the radio. We don't want to talk about AM, FM, right? Boo. We want to talk about apps and stuff on your radio, right? Control your climate control, functions that run very close to the car's hardware. At present, control of a car's most basic function typically requires the driver switch out of CarPlay and into the car's native user interface. Apple wants to keep you in the Apple ecosphere longer. So who's going to win the battle? In the short term, the odds are in the automaker's favor. Android Auto and CarPlay are very still difficult to find, and it wouldn't seem that they become make-or-break features for prospective buyers and dealerships. That's going to change. GM and Toyota's world are dead set on controlling their dashboards. They don't want to give that up, and they aren't going to feel much pressure until consumers start demanding it. So, you know, they still want you to stay on Chevy MyLink, on Cadillac Q, on Toyota Entune. In fact, Toyota hasn't committed to any date to roll any CarPlay or Android Auto integration. So we'll see how the automakers do on this. But here's the deal. They are going to bet, you know, most of us are just going to Bluetooth, right? But they want access to your car dash. They want to sell to you. They want to make it deals to put Pandora on the screen versus putting, you know, Geek News Central, of course, or something to that effect. But we'll watch where this goes. There's some comparison videos on the new iOS 9 and how Apple is working with Siri and the search bar and variety of things compared to Google Now and Cortana. So there is some demos available that were pretty eye-opening for me. I'll have that link up in the show notes. So it's basically iOS 9's what they're calling smarts, and how it's supposed to be knowing when you typically access an app, or it's going to know when you're getting ready to go to work, and it's going to, like every morning when I get up, and now with Google, with an Android, it basically, the little pop-up tells me that traffic is X number of minutes to get my kids to school. It does that in Google Now, whereas Apple's going to start being able to predict some of that stuff now, too, and present it to you. Okay. My big thing was to look and see what's going to happen with Apple Music. And some good screenshots are out and available. And it's for those of you that are iOS users, it's going to be a lot like you already know, a lot like you've already been using on iTunes. There's going to be a new section. There's going to be radio. There's going to be your music. I'm hoping that there's going to be a podcast section. It would only make sense that there would be. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Curated playlist, maybe? I don't know. Well, time will tell. Can't imagine with Spotify having introduced some podcast stuff that Apple would include it as well. Now, here's how it's going to break down. The difference in pricing. Monthly fee is between individual $9.99 and a family $14.99. Same prices with Spotify. They've already said they're going to match. Radio is $3.99. $9.99 and $14.99 and up. Google Play's $9.99 unlimited. There's no free version available with Apple Music as compared to the other services. Apple's got about a number, same number of songs. Of course, they haven't got the Beatles yet. That'll make some of my friends happy because some of my friends hate the Beatles and complain when it's being played on Pandora. So Apple has about 30 million, Spotify 30, radio about 32 million, and Google Play over 30 million. No information on audio quality. We know that Spotify, radio, and Google Play are up to 320 kilobits per second. Apple's going to include video. There's going to be exclusive content, curated playlists, offline listening, online media storage as well, which is, that's big. No social features information available at this time. There's obviously a Windows app for desktop and a Windows Mac desktop app. And there's going to be mobile apps, not only for iOS, but also Android. So there's going to be an Apple Music app for Android. So interesting play here. It's all being very kind of convoluted and smashed together. Who's going to win? That is the question. We already talked about the Android app to migrate users to iOS. In an upcoming version of some of the newer phones that are going to be coming out with iPhone and iPads, there's going to be a 6-digit passcode versus a 4-digit password. Come on. I don't want to. I understand you can use your thumb, but come on, give me a break. Six pass. I already have a hard enough time remembering the multitudes of 4-digit codes, and you're going to do 6? Not happy. All right, so that's, I think, all I got on Apple News. I just want to kind of give you the rough, quick, dirty in and out, and so that you guys, in case you didn't sift through everything, and kind of my perspectives on a couple of things. But I saw something today that was wrong on Lifehacker. This has nothing to do with tech. You know, my wife's Japanese. We cook rice. A lot of rice. And, you know, we have a very fancy rice cooker. It shows how much water to put in. But here's a rule of thumb if you're cooking rice. First, wash the rice. Strain it, right? Get all the dirt off the rice. You did know you have to wash rice, right, before you cook it. And then when you put it in the rice cooker, if you want to know how much water to put in, put some water in initially. Just, you know, get it so that it's kind of like, for a better word, floating. Not floating, but there's just a little bit of water. Skim on there. Then put your finger, shake it, make sure that the rice is flat. Put your finger down to the bottom of the pan, tip of your finger. Then put your thumb down to where you find the top of the rice is, right? So then what you do is you add that much water, that amount, whether it be to the first knuckle on your forefinger, or, you know, if you're cooking like 10 scoops, you know, you're going to need a whole bunch of water on there. But it's typically equal amount of rice, equal amount of water from a depth standpoint. I always put just a little more water, depending on the rice brand, because some rice cooks a little drier than others. So just a little more, a little over half. That's how you get the measurements right for your ratios in cooking rice. Why I wanted to tell you about this in a tech show, I have no idea, but it was on Lifehacker, and I said, you're doing it wrong. Hey, Warner Brothers is sending out settlement letters to Friends pirates. Well, apparently, if you've been pirating Friends, you're going to get a bill in the mail from Warner Brothers for $20. Huh. The damage to Warner Brothers for your conduct substantially exceeds $20, but in the interest of having you stop your infringement of Warner Brothers content permanently, Warner Brothers is prepared to make you this settlement offer. So I guess a bunch of people are just getting a $20 offer. So kind of a way of saying naughty, 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 not hitting you for too much money. Has anybody got any of these? Have you guys gotten any notices like this for any pirating of music or movies or anything? Let me know, all right? Oh, also, one last thing I forgot to tell you. I've got the Gizmodo live blog. It'll be available if you want to review that. All right, those of you that are in the UK or use the Unity web player on Facebook, be advised. There's a vulnerability afflicting Unity web player plugin that is on Facebook. So if you're using that, especially if you're watching BBC videos or anything like that, there is some cross-site, cross-domain security problems with it. So the company said there's going to be a patch coming soon, but be aware of that if you're using the Unity Web Player plugin, all right? Hey, DJI has announced a crash-proof drone. Is that even possible? I think it's possible because if you look at, oh, what am I doing here, Todd? Don't do that. Okay, I almost screwed up here. I forgot to cut, paste, and paste and go. And this is not your normal drone. This one is kind of like a developer drone. It'll help people, if you want to code and build stuff for DJI, build apps and so forth. This $3,200 crash-proof drone will essentially fly just about anywhere and avoid terrain and trees and a whole variety of other things, too. So there's information about that from DJI. They're doing some pretty incredible stuff over there at DJI. I'm still infatuated with one of their drones. It's beyond my affordability, right? All right, how many of you dads have got little kids that are driving those little plastic electric cars? You know they don't go very fast, right? Well, an awesome dad out there upgraded a Power Wheels with a high-speed brushless motor for his kids. You're going to love this, what this dad did. Bravo Zulu there, Dad. And he was, I think this guy's over in the UK, I believe. Don't worry, no kids were hurt in the filming of the video that's on that page. Dad was controlling the speed with a remote controller. But it's just imagine one of those little plastic cars on steroids, all right? All right, for those of you that bought a new MacBook and you have the USB-C connector, the folks at OWC have created for you a dock that gives your MacBook, your new MacBook, every port it ever could ever need. Kind of in some of its weird locations. So it's got a mini jack, four USBs. It has a place to put your SD card, HDMI plug. What else? It doesn't look like there's a Thunderbolt. Interesting. No Thunderbolt plug on it. Wonder why. Okay. But anyway, that's available $129 in October and three matching colors. So it won't be too bad on a price point. So I guess they just don't want you using it. All right, money isn't free, but moving it is now cheaper. There's a great article over on the Wall Street Journal talking about how you can move money from person to person, overseas, a variety of different locations instead of going to Western Union and all those places that charge you up to 8 or 9% to move the money. Visa and MasterCard are starting to be impacted by some of this because people are getting smart on how to transfer cash using some of those services. One of them is called Venmo. It doesn't cost anything to move. They were bought by PayPal recently. So there's lots of newfangled payment services, including Square Cash, Google Pay, even payments in Facebook Messenger. So again, there's a variety of companies that are allowing you to move cash. This will cover a whole bunch of them for you that if you need to transfer some money, including even moving Bitcoin, that gives you some ideas how to do that. Straight out of the Matrix, scientists say we have a substance in our brains that could one day allow doctors to activate different parts of our brain using nanoparticles and magnetic fields. They say it may even be possible that this area of research could one day make our brains, listen, stand for it, ready, programmable. So these magnetic particles can control electric signals in your brain. It's called ME. So might not be advisable to put a EM coil up next to your head, but this is pretty out there. They have done some tests on mice using nanoscale magnetoelectric particles. All kinds of this is crazy. I'm telling you, they're going to plug us in, folks, if we aren't already plugged in. Airbus is taking on SpaceX in the race to make a reusable rocket, and they're going to come out of hiding. They've been working on this since 2010. Their concept looks to me to be very sound, basically returning just the motor, not the fuel tank, to Earth upon a launch. Of course, the folks at Airbus are trying to build something for the European Space Agency, but it says that they are trying to make rockets semi-reusable. They got a pretty cool video and how it works. And what's really smart about this is that they have somewhat of a powered descent. And then when they get to a certain altitude, some cowlings pop off and two propellers pop out the back and actually power this thing to an airport landing. So pretty cool stuff from a concept standpoint. We have to see if it'll work when it actually flies, whenever that may happen. All right, Microsoft has been forced to kill off Facebook integration to Windows and Windows Phone, largely because the folks at Facebook shut down a bunch of their API stuff. The Facebook Graph API has devastated a lot of services, and the folks at Microsoft are currently regrouping, trying to figure out what they're going to do to essentially get Facebook back in the game on their products. It's really screwed up a lot of their plans and made Outlook 2013 useless for Facebook integration if you're using that at all. But anyway, that's something that's going on because of Facebook basically changing stuff up and removing stuff. By the way, those of you watching, guys, notice my nice haircut. When I go into the barber now, I got this gal that I go to if she's in on quite a regular basis. And for fellas that are looking to sport my haircut, this is a zero skin with just a little bit off on top. There's not much left on top anyway, but I don't know what it is. I just have never, even since I've come out of the Navy, I've had a hard time ever, I guess for a better word, conforming to a normal haircut, much to the chagrin of my wife. And plus, when my hair grows long, it makes me look about 10 years older, and I need every advantage I can get in staying looking younger. And usually the short haircut helps me by a few years, just a few. So anyway, hey, NASA's launched its flying saucer test, and they had a big snafu. Shoot didn't work too good. They've had some problems. They were able to recover, of course, so they had some backups in place, but it didn't inflate like it was supposed to. I guess they had a shredding event. So back to the drawing table, the folks at NASA have to do. Apple Spotlight gets natural language search. Oh, I missed this earlier, so we'll just leave that there and continue to move on. There's also a good write-up on phys.org, phys.org, talking about how does the experiment at the Large Hadron Collider work. There's some great details about some experiments and what the process is, and talks about a day at the LHC. Very, very cool stuff. So I have the link up for you if you want to get more insight into what some of these particle scientists are. I guess that's was that the right word to use for them? Very, very interesting. Pulsar navigation, piloting aircraft with the aid of stars. Well, we've been able to, you know, that was one of the things when back in the 80s, when I became an air crewman, I had a navigator that was nice enough to teach me how to shoot a cell. And basically, it's shooting a star to get a location to update an aircraft position through triangulation. And I had a lot of fun doing it. But in days gone by, captains sailed their vessels over the ocean by the aid of stars. And provided that the heavens weren't clouded over, this was reliable, was very accurate, and very, very accurate mode of transportation. Today, this has been mostly replaced by GPS. But the stars may soon make a comeback with so-called pulsar navigation. So we know that GPS signals are being controlled today by the governments of the world. The United States controls the Constellation, the Russians do, the European Space Agency, and they can shut GPS off that quick if they want to. If you don't think that they won't, if there's a war, they will shut GPS down. Most aircraft today are flown with an inertial navigation system with a GPS assist. I don't think there's any aircraft out there that don't have an actual inertial navigation system in. Today, I don't think anyone's completely replaced it with GPS, but there may be a new way. There are obviously about 1,000 known pulsars that hit Earth at between 1.4 milliseconds and 8.5 seconds. So according to an October 2014 feasibility study led by a gentleman from the National Aerospace Laboratory, NAL, in Amsterdam. The signals received from pulsars and their known positions can be used to create an alternative GPS. Researchers have called it pulsar navigation. No satellites needed. They just use the frequencies off these pulsars, and this is pretty cool. By detecting the electromagnetic radiation, it's going to have to be a pretty sensitive device, but pretty interesting. YouTube silences a DARPA robotics finals because of one song that briefly played in the background that was copyright controlled. So people could watch the competition in the workshop, but they couldn't hear it because of YouTube's DRM. When you have an event like that, you don't use YouTube to stream the event. You do it on your own stream, and then you play it back later on YouTube. Okay, are you looking for a degree? The BBC is reporting that Germany has abandoned tuition fees altogether for German and international students alike, and more than 4,600 U.S. students are fully enrolled at German universities, an increase of 20% over 3 years. So when some students found out that, like Germans, their studying was free, most of the folks said that it was mind-blowing. One lady, Catherine Burlingame, who decided to get her master's degree at a university in the East German town of Katowice, she said, "I realized how easy the admission process was and how there was no tuition fee. This was a wow moment for me." When Catherine came to Germany in 2012, she spoke two words of German, hallo and danke. Danke. She arrived in East German town, which had since 1950s taught the majority of residents Russian rather than English. At first, I was just doing hand gestures, and a lot of people had compassion because they saw I was trying and that I cared. She did not need German, however. In her master's program, which is filled with students from 50 different countries, taught entirely in English. In fact, German universities have drastically increased all English classes to more than 1,150 programs across many fields. So how can Germany afford to educate foreign students for free? Pretty simple. It's a global game of collecting talent. Those people get educated there. They want to stay. They apply for a visa. They're educated with a master's or bachelor's degree with a high-tech degree. They get to stay. Also, those students are the trading cards and collectors from different countries. So if a country collects more talent, they'll have an influx of new ideas, new businesses, and better economy. Smart, 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 smart. Smart, smart, smart. All the talent that's being taught here goes back home to compete against us. All right, Showtime online streaming will include Roku and the PlayStation. For those of you that have Showtime and are looking for their streaming service, which is going to be available here soon, starting on July 12th. The NTSB has come out and said that collision avoidance systems should be standard in cars. The system could prevent or mitigate more than 80% of rear-end collisions that cause about 1,700 deaths and 500,000 injuries annually. There are about 1.7 million rear-end crashes each year. Some of the collision avoidance systems issue a warning to drivers that collision is imminent, but do not automatically brake. The board recommended manufacturers begin by making a warning system standard and then add automatic emergency braking after the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration completes standards for them. So this is big. This is big, big, big. Smart. If any of you have ever been involved in an accident where you were hitting the rear end or you hit somebody, I think we'd all appreciate one of these. Hey, NASA spacecraft to spot some glass on Mars. No, they didn't find a beer bottle or a Coke can or Coke bottle. But what they did is they took some images of the Olga crater on Mars. Shows location of impact glass in green. Now, this is glass that basically came from asteroid hits. Again, or a meteorite impact. So very, very cool stuff here. They were able to tell that with the infrared sensors on there. All right, the U.S. government's going to require HTTPS for all government websites by the end of 2016. Good luck with that. Most government HTTPS are done with unsigned certificates. Okay, I have to share with you, I know we're going to, oh, we're all doing okay on time. Team Prenda. You've been listening for a while. You know, we've been talking about these knuckleheads. Well, it looks like Team Predator has been smacked around once again. This is Lightspeed case, which is one of the rare early cases where they were actually representing a real third party rather than a made-up entity that they really own themselves. So here's the deal. The short of it, they've been hiding and doing all kinds of stuff to move and suppress and cheat the court into basically telling banks, don't share the financial information. We've suppressed subpoenas. I mean, doing all kinds of, I mean, this is like, how come these folks aren't in jail type stuff? If you read this, even if you have no background in law, you're going to be like, how? How are these folks not under some sort of federal or jurisdictional prosecution already? Why aren't these folks in jail? Well, in all this money hiding, they were trying to hide money to not pay $276,000 in lawyers' fees of a judgment they lost. They've been claiming, oh, I'm poor, I don't have no money. The judge, it's like a huge amount of minutia to hide stuff. But yet the judge only ordered sanctions of $65,000 for contempt of court. I'm like, why isn't it $6.5 million, judge? Why aren't you going after these guys? I don't understand why this pattern of deceit, lying, and absurd court system still not have resulted in anything more serious. If you or I tried any of this, we'd all be in jail. I guess they're just, I don't know if they're given enough rope, they really hang themselves, I don't know. More bad news out of the TSA. An audit of the TSA has found that the agency failed to uncover terrorist connections of 73 aviation workers when it did background checks on them, according to a report released on Monday. The people were employed by major airlines, airport vendors, and other employers, and were identified because the agency lacked access, get this, to terrorism-related information from within our own government. The agency's multi-layered process to vet aviation workers for potential links to terrorists was generally effective. In addition to initially vetting every application for new credentials, TSA recurrently vetted aviation workers to access secured areas of commercial airports every time the consolidated terrorist watch list was updated. However, the testing showed the TSA did not identify 73 people with it terrorism-related category courts because the TSA is not authorized to receive all terrorism-related information under current interagency watch listing policies. Probably the stuff that's really bad, they don't get. The really bad ones. So you would assume those 73 were probably really bad working in our airports. Doesn't that make you feel great? I'm going flying tomorrow. Google Map for iOS can now send directions from a desktop Google search to your iPhone, in case you wanted to know that. Also, U.S. Army website offline after hacked by Syrian Electronic Army. So the U.S. Army took its official website down Monday as a precaution after it's compromised by a group of hackers. The Syrian Electronic Army claimed responsibility for a Monday attack of Army.mil. The U.S. Army's main website for news and public information popped up posts to the page appeared to criticize U.S. military efforts in the Middle East. So this was their public-facing website once again. All right, you guys know I have koi here, right? I have a koi pond. I have four beautiful koi and one goldfish in my koi pond. But I have to say what a gentleman did to create his koi a window is pretty cool stuff. Basically, he put a little floater in that allowed the koi to come up in the floater and see basically above the waterline. And you can tell that the fish freak out just a little bit when they look up in there. But anyway, those of you that have koi will find this to be very, very cool. Oh, that was weird. Sorry, I had my overlay on the wrong section. All right, last two articles tonight before I get out of here. iOS 9 also will run on all iOS 8 compatible devices. And final piece, the extra iOS 9 goodies Apple didn't show at the WWDC will be in the last article in the show notes tonight. I did have some email that come in, so let me go ahead and load that. I didn't load my email application before the start of the show, but let me take a little shot of H2O here. I'm actually looking forward a little bit to my trip. I'm going to go get to see my mom and my sister and all the niece and nephews. I know that part of them were here a little while ago, but it'd be nice to have just a few days with them. Okay, MS Smallbiz says, hey, Todd, you mentioned NASA's plans for a solar sail, and I just couldn't help wondering how forward-thinking. Oh, wait a minute. Is that an old one? No. Did I not? Okay, I'm waiting for this to load. All right, what happened here? I don't know if I remember if I read this or not, but anyway, you mentioned NASA's plans for a sail sound. I couldn't help wondering how forward thinking the plan was. It must be 1965 and not 2016, as Arthur C. Clarke just wrote Sunjammer last year, 1964. Sunjammer is a fantastic piece of science fiction of solar sailor yacht races. Then again, maybe it's 1974 as Jerry Purnell, The Mote in God's Eye just came out, where aliens use a solar sail to travel between stars. It'd be awful slow, wouldn't it? Really, NASA, is this the limit of your thinking to get your ideas from science fiction to what was being predicted 45 or 50 years ago? What happened to the people that put man on the moon with less computing power than a digital watch? I agree. I really agree. They got to really start kicking it up, don't they? Chip, the best way to change your address in our newsletter system is you should go ahead and unsubscribe and resubscribe. They don't look favorable upon me just adding people to the newsletter. So just go ahead and unsubscribe. And at the bottom of the newsletter, there's a link to unsubscribe, and then go to geeknewscentral.com, click on the newsletter link, and just resubscribe with your new email. I get an email from Bree. She says, hey, Todd, the Tesla assembly plant in Fremont, California, shows a pretty cool video. And I'll have the link to the YouTube video up in the show notes today. Bree, thanks for that. Got an email from Michael. He said, hey, Todd, I hear quite a bit of chatter these days about the fact that the Apple TV has not been updated in better than 3 years. And I continue to hear folks saying that they want an updated Apple TV, but never any real specifics really as to why. In a few instances, I've heard people say they would prefer to have it in an open platform to develop on. Others have said they'd like to see gaming come to the platform. I do agree with that. The only other feedback that I have heard was that the interface needed to be improved, but that I am not as concerned about, as that interface really is what launched similar interfaces on other platforms, such as the Roku and Fire TV. Once again, I feel that I have to defend Apple a little bit. While I agree that the app adaption would be faster if the developer platform were more open, but to say that is out of date, I do not think it is fair, a fair position that some have taken. The device, for what it is, does a lot, and it's every bit as capable as anything else that's on the market today that came after the Apple TV. I feel that Apple gets a bad rap. As I see it, the Apple TV preceded many of the devices that we see today, including perhaps a Roku. I also feel that Apple was being honest when Steve Jobs was still alive, in that they really did not know what direction they were going to take with the Apple TV. Steve himself called the project a hobby. Perhaps you could ask your audience, really, what specific things would you like to see the Apple TV do? For example, one of the things that I am predicting that the device may be used for is part of Home Automation Hub. Well, it's been announced that that is going to be the case. So much like you see the titled interface, the tiles would represent items in your home, such as your refrigerator, air conditioning, stereo system, garage door, and other things like that. It could act as a controller for these systems. We have already seen applications where Siri can act like an interface for the user to direct commands at such devices. I'm curious to your thoughts. Thanks, Mike. Mike, really what I want is I want to put my own apps on there. I want to choose what I want. I want a tech podcast app. I want a Blueberry app. Potentially in the near future, a Geek News Central app. I want to have all that stuff that I want on there, just like I can do on the Roku. I have 2,000 choices on Roku for different content. I can put everything from sports, education, tech, to weather, to movies, to games, you name it. I can put whatever I want on there. It's a closed ecosystem on Apple TV so far. Sure, you can listen to the show on Apple TV. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate that. But watch or listen. And at the same time, I want more. It's not my go-to device. It really isn't, because of its limited, very, very limited app selection. I'm a connoisseur of trying different things. And, it's just like a TV channel. I subscribe and unsubscribe a lot. And the stuff that I don't want, I want to remove. I want to be able to take the junk out that I'll never use within that app. So that is where I kind of fit on the Apple TV spectrum. Great comment. Thanks for sending that in. And remember, folks, when you guys send emails in to the show, let me know where you're from. Tell me where you're located, wherever you are in the world, so that I can kind of get an idea. And don't be afraid to give me a little background about you. Also got an email from Rory. He said, "Hey, Todd, I recently got an internet radio, Robert Stream 107, a great little device. It has the ability to search for radio stations and podcasts stored within a central database at www.wifiradio-frontier.com. A few of my faves are already in, but not GNC. It would be worth getting them to list yours. I wasn't sure how to add it myself as the format and of the links didn't seem to work through the system. I will check that out, Rory, and get the show listed over. I didn't even know what this was. And when I loaded it, I was kind of like, oh, that's cool. So what I wanted to show everyone was what this looks like. See if I can bring it up here before we go out today. And it's basically a tabletop device. So I wasn't familiar with this, but I'm definitely going to be checking it out. Choose from 24,869 radio stations, 8,790 podcasts. This is not well known to me, but I will find out what the story with that is, and we'll get at it. Maybe they need our database, our 275 or 276,000 podcasts that we're injecting into blueberry.com. All right, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Facebook, Google+. You can ping me all over the place on Twitter @geeknews. Wednesday's a big day. Thank you for being part of the journey. And we'll talk more about the Wednesday announcement on the next show. Again, no show on Thursday, but I will be replying to social media stuff and emails as it comes in and as I get access to it. All right, everyone, thanks. We'll see on a special thing I'm going to produce for you while I'm in Michigan, okay? And if you got questions for Danica, send them to me, geeknews@gmail.com. 10 questions, 10 minutes, all right? Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.